This Spotlight edition of the Security Ledger podcast is sponsored by Arctic Wolf Networks. Arctic Wolf provides SOC as a service that is redefining the economics of security. Arctic Wolf's CyberSOC is anchored by concierge security engineers. It includes 24/7 monitoring, custom alerting, and incident investigation and response. There's no hardware or software to purchase, and the end-to-end service includes a proprietary cloud-based SIM, threat intelligence subscriptions, and all the expertise and tools required. For more information about Arctic Wolf CyberSOC, visit arcticwolf.com. Hello, and welcome to this Spotlight edition of the Security Ledger podcast. I'm Paul Roberts, editor-in-chief of the Security Ledger. It wasn't that long ago that the Black Hat briefings in Las Vegas were all about the hacks, the lulls, and the zero days. But slowly, that has been changing. As cybersecurity has matured from a niche of the technology industry to a full-fledged multi-billion dollar industry in and of itself, more and more attention is being paid to the many challenges facing information security companies, from worker shortages to racial and gender imbalances to the stress of frontline cybersecurity jobs. That was true at this year's Black Hat briefings and the DEF CON conference, where talks on problems such as PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and substance abuse among security practitioners were part of the agendas. What is the best way to identify, train, and cultivate security talent? What are the problems that frontline cybersecurity professionals working in secure operations centers are being asked to wrestle with? To find out, we sat down on the sidelines of Black Hat to chat with Sam McLean, Chief Technology Services Officer at the firm Arctic Wolf, which offers SOC as a service. In this conversation, Sam and I discuss what it takes to develop top-notch cyber talent, why the information security profession is so prone to worker burnout, and how best to cultivate a work-life balance in what is, after all, a pretty high-stress career. While it might be tempting to let your security pros work 60 hours a week and burn the midnight oil, McLean talks about why that might not be the best approach for your company in the long run. To start out, I asked Sam just to talk a little bit about what Arctic Wolf does and the company's SOC as a service offering. Sam McLean, CTO of Arctic Wolf Networks. Welcome to Security Ledger Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us just a little bit about Arctic Wolf and kind of what you guys do.
So Arctic Wolf provides a managed SOC as a service, which most people would consider, Gartner has us in the managed detection and response quadrant, but the idea is that we go into a customer, collect all of their log data, look at all their inbound and outbound traffic, put it into a big data architecture, and then alert on it and provide them back real, true, actionable security events. So-and-so has malware. This person was just successfully phished out of Office 365 and such. And we do all that around the clock at a fraction of the cost of trying to build it yourself.
So this MDR, managed detection and response, is one of these great kind of terms that Gartner invents and then gets everybody to to run towards. People are used to thinking about endpoint protection and network detection. These are kind of the legacy categories of security tools. What is this MDR space and what do companies in that space do?
So traditionally, a company would have several different point products. They'd have firewalls, network infrastructure, AV, endpoint, and all of those services, those products to create a vast amount of log data. Mm-hmm. Generally, you'd put it in a traditional SIM product, and then you'd go through the SIM, configure what's important, what's not, and then alerts would bubble up and someone would have to look at the console and say, oh, that's a real event, we need to go off and do that.
Like a human being.
Yes, a human being. And so that is managed detection and response as a process. And then there are a lot of companies that generate some or all of that data or consume it from other people and then provide it as a service. And that's what we do. And most of the competitors either do exactly what we do, where they're sort of vendor agnostic, we collect everything, or they came from, we generate a bunch of that data already. And so it just makes sense for us to bolt on something else to do the rest of it, if you will.
Okay, so you're Chief Technology Officer at Arctic Wolf?
Yes. Arctic Wolf, we started 6 years ago. I was part of the original six people that came on board. We all came from Blue Coat Systems back before they were acquired by Symantec, and I was a product manager there and a sales engineer before that, and we all came together to try and figure out how we could change the way smaller companies provide get security. If you're the largest of the large, the Department of Defense or Goldman Sachs or the government of Great Britain, you've got money, you've got people, you've got tools to throw at this problem. If you're a small regional healthcare organization or a law firm of 100 partners, you don't have the people, and more than likely you don't have the budget to really go at this as a Fortune 100 company would. Our goal was, how do you provide that same level of experience and coverage, but that's approachable to a smaller company and give them the leverage capability of actually defending their environment?
Finding people, retaining people is the sort of perennial problem in the information security space.
Absolutely. And it's not just finding people. We can train lots of people. It's the experience. It's it's actually having the situational awareness to say, okay, yes, the CEO just got phished, but it was, you know, on their iPad, it was contained, as opposed to the CEO just got phished and now suddenly we're getting a wire transfer request in to the CFO kind of a thing. And if you've never been exposed to that, the training aspect of it is just one piece. And so finding qualified talent that's got experience is actually a problem. It won't be in 15 years when all these people that we're training actually finally do get the experience. Mm-hmm. But for right now, the number of senior people is dwindling quickly because they're such, you know, talented resources. They're getting put into places and then paid really well, and then you pray that they don't burn out.
Does it take 15 years? I mean, what do you need to really be an Obi-Wan Kenobi of security incident response?
So it really depends on your career path. As we hire out of colleges for our sort of frontline SOC and start people training, we generally say that it takes 5 to 6 years to really get good, but our people are immersed in 500, 600 customers worth of data in all the different industries. And and they'll spend some time looking at cloud and then looking at Windows and then looking at servers and all the different types of devices. So it's a really intense immersion. If you work for a company, you're only going to be exposed to what that company does and what that company has. And so generally, someone will come in brand new, get security set up, make sure the firewalls are right, make sure the policies are right, make sure that endpoint's right, and then they're done. It's kind of, okay, now you just sort of, you go to conferences and you do things and you get bored, so then you jump ship to someplace else. And so as you gain that experience, sort of more organically, it can take a long time because you're just not exposed to as much.
Right.
Oftentimes, the real senior people are in the largest of the large companies. So they come from the military or Wall Street, the Fortune 50. And then they're like, okay, I got to get out of the rat race. And then they go, I want to move to North Carolina. And then, so that's how these people sort of trickle back down out of that thing. So that, but it really depends on your career path. And
it's kind of like the difference between being like a firefighter in a small town and like a hotshot out there in California. Like,
absolutely. Same sort of
parachuting
idea.
Into, forest fires.
Yes. And training is getting better. I mean, there's lots of training courses and those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, it truly is just what you're exposed to. Mm. And so that's why, it's one of our unique selling propositions as a company is that when we bring on security talent, we can expose them to different industries, different verticals, different technologies, because since we're vendor agnostic in a lot of ways, we see everything. Every new whiz-bang sort of security product or tool that's out there,
right,
we'll be able to leverage and get access to. So it is rather enticing.
You're listening to a Spotlight edition of the Security Ledger podcast, sponsored by Arctic Wolf Networks. Arctic Wolf provides SOC as a service that is redefining the economics of security. Arctic Wolf's CyberSOC is anchored by concierge security engineers. It includes 24/7 monitoring, custom alerting, and incident investigation and response. There's no hardware or software to purchase, and the end-to-end service includes a proprietary cloud-based SIM, threat intelligence subscriptions, and all the expertise and tools required. For more information about Arctic Wolf CyberSOC, visit arcticwolf.com. It's really interesting. I mean, we were talking before I hit record, one of the interesting themes that I saw just looking at the agenda here at Black Hat is more talks focused on the mental health of security workers, information security workers. There's one on PTSD, there's one or two on, addiction and other problems that might go along with what is sort of sometimes marketed as a, fun, creative profession, but at the end of the day is really demanding. Interested in your thoughts on that.
It's an interesting problem, and it's actually at the core of one of the basic building blocks of Arctic Wolf. When we started, again, you know, you talk to people in the industry, and it's exactly what you said. It's exciting work, it's fun work, but it's intense. And depending upon the environment you're in, it may be intense for 2 days a year because you've had an incident, and then for the rest of the time, you're cleaning up and planning and doing other things. But if you're in a larger organization, that intensity doesn't ever end. It's almost like being an ER doc, if mm-hmm. you will. And oddly enough, it has the same similar sort of pressure because, you know, if you're a hospital and you get ransomware and you can't prescribe drugs because you can't document it,
right.
people's lives are at stake.
Right.
And that pressure is there, and it's hidden. When you think about going into security, when I started with security, I did firewalls at a university, and then I went to a vendor, and then, you know, sort of worked my way up. But you didn't really think it was, back then, wasn't that much. The hospital was completely segmented, so you didn't really, they weren't attacking it that way. But other areas, it was, yeah, it's going to be bad, but it's not life or death. Mm-hmm. And more and more, these things are really serious. They're impacting our elections, they're impacting healthcare, people's livelihoods with banks, because this money, it just goes mm-hmm. if they do it wrong. And so the levels there, and because there's such a shortage of talent, you have to keep people in the cesspool, if you will, longer than you would normally do it. It used to be maybe a 6-hour shift. Now it's a 10-hour shift because there's just not enough people. And we took that into account, and it built a process, a methodology, so that we treat the security talent like you would a professional sports player, and everything that's considered drudgery is out of their purview. We give them support staff to do all that stuff, and we also limit the amount of time. We require that they spend a full 8 hours a week doing non-incident related work and non-customer related work. Go do research, go do that, and then, you know, we provide them with multiple types of training. And the idea there is that give them a balance between being in the thick of it, which is exciting and fun, and the adrenaline is good, but then make sure they have the break. Make sure that they've taken the time to breathe and sort of do the other things. And if you can do that at scale and profitably, that's where we think it's really unique. Because I'm not always going out and trying to find more and more talent. Hire ahead of the curve. Make sure you've got capacity. And make sure that people understand that they need to be aware of their own personal time. Because that's the other thing is that I'll log in at 10 at night, sitting in front of the TV, and I'll hop online, and there'll be 5 other guys online looking through the data casually. Mm-hmm. They're not in the SOC at shift, and I'm just like, what are you guys doing online? They're like, we saw something today we wanted to go, and I'm like, get off. You guys got to go home. They're like, why are you on? I'm like, because I'm talking to someone in Australia in 10 minutes.
Right.
It's that kind of a thing. But you want it to be at their leisure. They want to do it rather than they have to. And that's really the life work balance you sort of strive for. And it's why the industry is in such up in arms about it, is that if these good people, if they burn out, like I said, that senior talent is going to go away. And then it's going to be a lot of really smart people that have no experience and will have to relive history again.
Right.
So.
And a lot of really experienced people out, you know, raising goats on farms.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have goats. There's nothing wrong with goats. But it is, you know, you do need that yin and yang sort of, you need the offset because it is that intense. But it is exciting as well.
And I think, like, culturally, like, I've been covering cyber for like 15 years. So, I mean, I think culturally there's been sort of an expectation or this idea that this is both your passion and your work. You know, often people who are presenting here, this is research that they've done in parallel to whatever their day job is, you know, or things that they're doing on the side, which is amazing and impressive. But like you said, can also be all consuming. And, you know, I think we've all known and seen people who have kind of gone over the falls with it, you know.
Yeah, and you almost get this peak and then a valley, and that's what prefer it to be.
Right.
There's going to be ups and downs, obviously. This industry is fraught with incident-based, temporal-based sort of, okay, there's a burst of work to be done, and then the lull after that a little bit, but you want to smooth it out as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
If it was boring, no one would want to do it,
mm-hmm.
And if it's too intense, no one wants to do it, so you got to strike that balance.
Any talks or presentations you're planning on checking out while you're here?
I do want to go see the one about the PTSD, because that is a real,
yeah,
that is an interesting area for us, because, you know, the larger we get, the more people, the more customers you bring on.
And PTSD, we're really talking about sort of from responding to security,
yes,
incidents.
Yeah. It is if you've ever been in any kind of an IT situation, it doesn't even have to be security related. If you're migrating from one old SAN to a new SAN and it goes sideways, the level of pressure and intensity that's now applied to any of those sort of IT related issues, it is stressful. And if you're the person, the valuable resource at the company that everything sort of goes through, it's constant. And that is a real issue. And avoiding that burnout, I think, is something, like I said, eventually we're going to have these people all, you know, quit. And as you said, go raise goats, because it's just too much.
And, you know, security being what it is a male-dominated profession, at least for now. There is certainly a sort of macho culture and security. So I'm guessing it might be difficult often for these folks who are doing incident response and working in SOCs to say, I feel like I'm burning out, or, you know, I'm having trouble bouncing back from, you know, the last week.
Yeah, no, it is a real problem. And I agree with the sort of gender stipulation, but I find it's just people who are really passionate is that they don't realize how far in the hole they are. And you're just like, dude, just give me the shovel. Mm-hmm. You can stay in the hole for a little bit, but I just don't want you to dig in any deeper.
Right.
And here's a ladder kind of
right.
a thing. And so again, it goes back to, you know, you've got to have a program in place where there are breaks. There's a different work experience that is the person forced on that person.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's really security management, IT management. It's that responsibility, that role of you can't view a person as 40 hours a week and treat them that way,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to lose them.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to say, no, they're actually about 20 hours a week of good, mm-hmm. hard SOC time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other 20, it needs to be research. And you don't want it to be all the paperwork that goes with it, because that is just as boring. And so then they're either really intense or they're bored out of their skull. It's go find a pet project, prepare a talk for your local ICSA or your local B-sides, and then maybe it makes it to RSA or Black Hat. I mean, there's lots of ways to entice people to do things. And so that's really, I think, an interesting program I'd love to see more widely adopted.
So, I mean, you're kind of on the front lines of the information security talent shortage. What, in your view, is the fix for that? Obviously, where do you find new young talent that hasn't already been groomed and snatched up by somebody else? And if you were kind of president, how would you solve this endemic problem that we've got?
I think the right things are being done. I have three kids in college. One of them is in CompSci, but they're all technology.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, you know, in that generation is a bit of a geek these days. You can't not be,
mm-hmm.
as a human almost, it looks like. But there's a huge push in security in colleges and universities, you know, technical schools. I see a lot of people start out and then they're just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And and it's just like, stick with it. I think we need to get all these people trained, get them to start working at it. There's plenty of jobs,
mm-hmm.
At this point. It's really a matter of just making sure that everyone gets through the program, they get trained well. The industry's come a long way with best practices and, like I said, with trainings. And so we are definitely making progress in the battle of making sure that we've got the right talent. I just think we've probably got another 3 or 4 years before that talent has made it enough through the pipeline, if you will,
mm-hmm.
to where there's a real impact. I think you're still going to see that shortage for a couple more years.
So security is kind of a bright, shiny objects industry. Like every year, there are new tools, technologies. So what are the core services that Arctic Wolf offers, and are you adding new tools to your tool belt or new services as, you know, the industry and technology move along?
So the core product that we offer, the service that we offer, is the Cyber SOC, the Managed Detection and Response SOC service. And the nice thing about what we do is that as new tools become available, as customers buy into more intelligence feeds and next generation agents, we collect that data and we get to see it and we get to help them with it. And so we see everything that's out there. But the basic idea of getting your hands around collecting the right data, understanding what's relevant and what's not, because a firewall, for example, generates lots of information that, that is interesting but not relevant to an alert until you've actually got much further down the forensics process. So understanding that, being able to sort of thin the stream of data that flows into a SOC and make relevant decisions about do we put it in expensive storage or not, that's what we do, is we collect that data, we manage it for customers, and then we manage their incident response so we understand their escalations and customize it. And the goal is that our leveraged expertise allows them to get all those benefits. Customer calls up and says, hey, we just signed up for Office 365. We're like, okay, well then here's what we need to know. Where do your people travel? How do you manage vacations? So that we can alert you if we see an executive log in from an odd country. And so we guide them through that sort of layer. As we look to the future of what are the other things that people want, our value is we take complex things and provide both platform and personnel to solve that problem in industry best practices. So things like vulnerability scanning and agent, desktop agents, those kinds of things. Those are all areas where they can be difficult to deploy. They can be painful to sort of weed through the noise that comes out of them. So those are the kinds of things that we continue to look at as a company and say, where can we leverage the same type of value? Where are people struggling with security that will have a major impact?
So do we get to a place where security is kind of this turnkey and a company like Arctic Wolf comes in and basically does it for you and you just focus on whatever it is that you're in business to do?
In some ways, yes. You want security to be a utility in a lot of ways. Yeah. And it's the only way that the internet really works. If you don't trust the internet, if you don't trust what's going on outside your perimeter, the whole model breaks down. And so the goal is to provide a level of assurance, a level of trust in your security infrastructure that you don't have to worry about it. You're gonna, because security people are, anybody who's associated with risk worries. It's sort of what we do. But you do want to be confident, okay, I've got the right people, I've got the right process, I'm looking at it continuously so that if something bad happens, it will be detected and we'll be able to respond.
A lot of talks at this year's Black Hat focused on phishing and social engineering in one form or another. That seems to be the first stage in pretty much every sophisticated or unsophisticated attack that's out there. How are you working with your customers to help them with those types of attacks, phishing and social engineering?
So given the way that we collect data, we often see phishing attempts in progress. We see the training. So if they're using one of the vendors that does the sort of training phishing, we see that. And they generally manage that on their own. We can offer advice and help them craft the right kind of a phish. But oftentimes what we'll see is someone at work clicks on an email from Gmail in a browser, and then we'll see it go out and we'll see the clear text credentials and a password or a credit card go out, and we immediately alert the customer and say, hey, this one. So we participate at that side. We can tell you these are the people that should be trained better. And it's still our number one incident that we're seeing. As you said, as an attack vector, it is easily now has taken over ransomware as the number one way that people are getting in.
Are companies getting savvy to it? Or are they doing things to two-factor authentication or what have you to address it?
They are, but it's not just corporate. It's private credentials.
Sure.
So
right,
most companies provide quality of life and say you can get to Facebook, you can get to Pinterest, you can get to your personal mail at work, and you just pray that they're not using the same passwords for both things. Most people do. It is an industry level problem. But that's what you're looking at, and the attacks are getting. It's so much easier now to profile someone and say. So for me, you could go in and look and see where I am and where I've come from.
Yeah.
I could do a much better job of hiding my online presence, but at the end of the day, I've got family, I've got friends. It's impossible to be hidden on the internet at this point.
Right.
And so it's just very easy to sort of profile someone and then send a really nice targeted phishing attack at them. So it's interesting.
Sam McLean, thank you so much for coming on and speaking to us on the Security Ledger podcast. It's been great.
Thanks for having me.
Sam McLean is the Chief Technology Services Officer at Arctic Wolf Networks. Arctic Wolf provides SOC as a service that is redefining the economics of security. Arctic Wolf's CyberSOC is anchored by concierge security engineers and includes 24/7 monitoring, custom alerting, and incident investigation and response. There's no hardware or software to purchase, and the end-to-end service includes a proprietary cloud-based SIEM, threat intelligence subscriptions, and all the expertise and tools required. For more information about Arctic Wolf CyberSOC, visit arcticwolf.com.